It's Monday, June 28th, 2021, and you're listening to episode 573 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 59 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
I'm Brodor.
And I'm Phoenix. Some of you may have heard me recording as a host on this podcast previously under a different name. I came out as non-binary a few months ago. My pronouns are they, them, and my name is changing to Phoenix. So Phoenix is who I will be from here on out. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me privately. Phoenix at feartheboot.com or via the forums. Thank y'all.
All right, so let's get down to it. Brodor, you got a quick shout out to give, and then we're going to go into how you want to... I don't know why I want to say the word.
I got upset with a play.
Precisely.
Yeah. There we go.
So I just wanted to say thank you to Wayne. Wayne came over to my house recently, did an interview for Why We Game, and kind of drilled down into Wayne as a gamer and as a tech pirate. But Wayne had noticed just that I had been struggling, you know, with keeping up with consistent content and recognized that I'd pretty much become overwhelmed by my ignorance with the technology. And he literally put together an 18-page, including a table of contents document that kind of walks me through some, here are things that you're doing right, here are some things that you can improve, and literal screenshot step-by-step instructions on some things that I can change to improve my website and my YouTube page. And yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, like I have said, I am a fan of Brodor. I want Brodor to be a success.
Yeah, I can tell you that... So, as I've mentioned before on the show, Fear the Boot has no employees. It is a company for legal reasons or whatever. Has no employees, one contractor, which is Aisha. If I had the money to hire someone to just be my, I would say bitch, but bitch, full time, and pay them what they're worth and what they need and what they want, the first person that I would make an employee of Fear the Boot isn't me. It's actually Wayne.
Wayne is pretty amazing.
Because you know he'll get work done.
Yes, I don't even know that about me.
Wayne is certainly, I mean, obviously because the site is up, well, that's your doing, really. The fact that it's still there, you're doing content I create, but Wayne, like, put in proper work, and it shamed me because I was like, I'm embarrassed that this guy... did all this for something that's not his project. What is my problem?
That's what friends do.
Wayne is a really good friend, and Wayne is amazing, and and also you have stuff worth getting out there.
I'm kind of funny sometimes.
Brodor, you're more than funny. When it comes to these interviews, I've listened to a bunch of them. Chad has said the same thing. You have an ability to get people comfortable and that will open up. You'll ask about things that they've never been asked about before. And they'll share stories they've never shared before.
Make me open down, see? That's what I try to do.
And you succeed at it.
Oh, thank you.
You're good at it.
Stop it. Okay, fine.
And your videos are incredible, and they need to be on YouTube so people not on Facebook can see them.
So this is my also friend, accurate. My friend actor.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump to that.
You want to jump to that? Because now my shoulders are like trying to crawl into my ears. I don't have anxiety, but I don't. The positivity, it kind of skeeves me out.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if you noticed, but I started talking about you because
you're deflecting.
Yes, I don't do well with the compliments. I don't know how to react to them. I turn bright red.
It's really cute. Yeah, adorable.
Here's the thing about you, Wayne, and I really believe this. There are a lot of people that obsessively overwork because they mistakenly think that they're irreplaceable. I actually believe that you're the one employee at a job that if you left, your bosses would themselves. I don't believe that about most people. I believe that about you. I really do.
I have some stories that has happened.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, Brodor... your current game. All right. So back at episode 566, all right, we told a story about Brodor's gaming group that center around an individual we simply called Actor. We will continue using that pseudonym.
All right. So,
what is your story with Actor? Because we've only heard a headline.
Right, here's the brief synopsis of the situation up to this point.
Okay.
I'm running a 3.5 D&D game. Yes, 3.5 is the superior edition.
You're wrong, but cute.
Actually, in the edition wars, the absolute total war savagery that the three fivers will perpetrate on others because we obsessively know these combat rules is goddamn insane. Yep. We're like Grammaton clerics.
I'm going to split the difference and say 3.5 does what 3.5 does better than 5 could ever attempt to do. 5 does 5 better than 3.5 could ever do.
I love
5th edition, but I understand why you still love 3.5 because you can't do what you want to do.
It's just so there, right? I mean, it's like that. It's like those young ladies we saw at the restaurant. It's just just keep it up, right? So anyway.
Wow. Okay.
Why?
So
you're doing so good.
I didn't talk about their.
Yeah. Okay. So go on.
Any which way, I pitch this game. An actor is a friend of mine, and he's been gaming with me for a long time, and I feel like that there is a certain amount of proprietary ownership for your seat at the table, and we're changing games, and we're getting back together, because our other game is dead because of COVID, so we're starting.
Literally.
Yeah.
COVID literally killed the game.
COVID kills the only casualty I know.
Yeah.
But...
I know that.
Anyway. So the game's dead. We're starting over.
No, I thought COVID actually killed your game, through pneumonia.
So I approach Actor and I'm like, hey, I want you to play. I know that this campaign setting and that this mechanic system are not your bag. So I want you to play. However, our friendship is more important, and I don't want this to feel like an obligation to you. If you step away and you don't want to play, that's your seat. And whoever's going to fill it in the interim is going to understand that you're coming back, right? And that this is this campaign thing. And he, no, I want to play. Everything's great. So every game he shows up and there's a pattern. And that pattern is they rush there late from work. They're stressed and they're what have you, which we pay.
Okay, that's life.
You know what? Let's everybody decompress. We'll give it a half hour. We'll start gaming. But whenever... the game starts, this is very cranky, unhappy, like it takes literal hours to finally perk up and be happy. Now, actors going through a lot in their life. There's a lot going on with their personal stuff and stuff going on with their job. And so I try to be patient with it. And so I haven't really engaged too much because the campaign's moving forward. People are happy. We're doing games consistently.
You're getting your excess aggression out by recording episodes about it.
Yeah. All of that is working, but there's this, I don't know if it's disrespect. I don't know if it's a lack of interest, but the last game session, he's on his phone, right? For a while. Now I can tell he's in a very stressed mood. He's not happy. Some shit's going on in his personal life. So I let it go. For a while, like a long, long time. Like we're not talking an hour. We're talking more than of just this constant on the phone back and forth. So at one point I just stop the game. I look right at him and I go, dude, I'm so sorry. Is our game interrupting your texting? And he fucking looked at me and he goes, no, dude, it's cool. Go on.
Wow.
Okay. Well, he almost got unzipped. I was so f***ing mad. But
then, that's actually kind of a funny response.
Yeah, I thought he was going to explode on him or something.
Instead, he just handled that in such a. Well, I'm going to remember that one for the next time somebody says something.
He didn't do it because he was cool. He did it because he is quite literally on the spectrum. And later that night,
you think maybe he just doesn't understand the interaction?
Yes. Okay. So later that night, he starts talking about how the pandemic has destroyed his ability to socialize and that he had spent all this time with his social anxiety and dealing with being on the spectrum, et cetera. And he learned how to fake it and deal with people. And he feels like all of that effort has been just set back or erased because he's been in isolation for all this time. But also he's, I know everybody in the pandemic has handled it differently and has had different perspectives, but he's the kind of person who will get vaccinated and still wear two masks because he's terrified that he's going to get this thing, you know? And so he doesn't want to leave his house. And it's just, it's had a serious impact on him socially. And so I don't want to lose my temper at him, but I'm like, dude, come on.
All right, let me ask you a question that I realize is profoundly, it's not subjective, I don't think, but you might not be in the perfect position to answer because you're not in his head.
Okay.
So do you think this comes from a place of that this is just neurodivergence or, you know, that some difficulty in interpreting the situation? Or do you think this is something where he fully understands the situation and is just acting out of either, I don't know, malice or apathy, care?
100% column A.
Okay.
There is not any fiber in my being that believes that this was intentional or malicious.
Okay. I have no lot of thoughts on this.
It adds a whole other level to the previous episodes you've recorded about the guy.
Well, right. But so this is, I didn't know. Like,
oh.
Right. So then it just happens in passing. So it's not like, hey, this is something that I've been dealing with. It literally is just,
it adds so much perspective.
As a drive-by. Yeah. I was like, what?
Okay.
It adds so much perspective to his previous behavior.
Yeah. He probably didn't realize you were being sarcastic with your comment. Hence why his response was potentially flippant. Like, nah, you're cool. Like, sarcasm and tone tend to not register with people on the spectrum.
It hit me as so utterly disrespectful. And everybody has their triggers. For me, it's being condescended or diminished. Nothing makes me want to have violence and throw fists.
Yeah, going back to your previous stories,
I totally understand.
All of the pieces are fitting together now. Mm. One of the things that I really am relating to that you said he said is that he built up all of these methods and dealing ways to cope with things and that then get out of place. So I'm pretty sure I never have talked about this on the podcast. One of the things that I've struggled with in the past was panic attacks. And I created my coping mechanisms for them. And one of the ways that I learned how to tell that one was about to occur was monitoring my own physiological state, carefully paying attention to my breathing. When the pandemic started, I put on a face mask. Immediately, my breathing that I'm paying attention to triggers my built-in coping mechanism of heavy breathing means panic attack. So just by putting on the mask at the beginning of the pandemic, I started having panic attacks. My own coping mechanism worked against me and I had to retrain it. And your buddy, his coping mechanisms, when he's by himself, he's not practicing them. And now he's going to have to retrain himself as he's being around.
Yeah, I was about to say, after a year plus, without being able to practice those skills, without being able to engage in those situations, at least not to the degree and the depth that you did before all this COVID stuff, that's got to be difficult, which is why I've got a slightly different question here, which is, Phoenix, do you have advice for Brodor?
I do. And I will preface this by saying, obviously, I am not an expert on autism or on your friend. I'm an expert on my son and my experiences with people in my life who are on the spectrum.
I will go so far as to say you are an expert in being around it and understanding and dealing with it, which is what Brodor needs right now.
My recommendation to you would be to have a private conversation with your friend and figure out what he's using his phone as a coping mechanism for. Generally, for folks who are on the spectrum, eye contact is problematic. Focusing on things for extended periods of time can be problematic. What is he using his phone to cope with?
So that I don't know, because we didn't have the conversation, right? Because I've got four other people at the table.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I wasn't, but based on my interaction with just my experience with people, he was clearly having a conversation. Mm-hmm. There was an obvious discourse back and forth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it seemed frenetic and frustrated and frazzled, etc. But that I didn't dig into.
And it's entirely possible. Maybe he was texting someone to help him cope with trying to function in that group again.
See, and this is where I have difficulty because I know these people, right? I am not smart enough to manipulate and predict people like steps ahead. However, I'm good at reading body language and I'm good at reading. If I had to put money on it, he's having an argument with his fiance. And that's what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is the only time that this has been a situation coming into the game. I don't know what other stress is, but, and again, I don't know. I could absolutely be wrong just based on the situation, body language, et cetera. Yeah. I'm arguing with a significant other.
Yeah.
So I'm going to offer a suggestion that you could offer him. I don't know him. I don't know his situation. Right. But one thing I do know is that a lot of people bring their baggage to the table. You could have a conversation with them that basically tell him, life out there, it can suck. This is your isolation from that.
This is your escape.
Right.
Don't look at your phone. Enjoy your escape. Let us be your support for this 4 hours.
Right. But have a private conversation.
Have a private conversation with him.
He specifically talked about social anxiety, so you don't want to do it in front of the group.
Yeah, that would be bad. Don't do that to someone with social anxiety. Have a conversation with him. Figure out what's triggering him to disengage, where the disconnect is, and if there are things that you can do to help him to set that aside and to reengage. Does he need something to do with his hands? Does he need something else to look at so that he's not having to stare at people or avoid staring at people? Things that are going to help him feel more comfortable, that are going to help provide him with the right amount and right kind of stimulation that he needs. These are all things that, generally speaking, people on the spectrum, it helps them to function better.
I want to go out on a limb here and say you were in a good position to help him because he trusted you with this.
Yeah.
This is something you didn't know about him before.
He said it in front of everyone. No, this was a group conversation, right? So, I mean, obviously, I did not out him to the group. He literally said this in front of everyone.
Yeah.
The point is, you didn't know about this before.
No, I didn't know.
So it's something he now felt like he could tell everyone.
Yeah, and if he's told the rest of the group as well, you can also engage with them to help kind of manage him.
The big thing is, you know now, because you were wondering in all the previous stories,
right?
Is he trying to sabotage your game? Now you know that's not the case.
Why? See, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I can chew bubblegum and walk at the same time. I think that both things can be true. Mm-hmm. I think that actor can be on the spectrum and have social anxiety. I also think that actor can fucking hate D&D and fucking hate Midnight and not want to play the game. And so, I think that somewhere these two things have made a baby, and it's making me mad.
I will also say, I know that at least for my son, if there is something that he is not interested in or something that he struggles to maintain interest in, he lives in his own world, and what's important to him is the most important thing. And if you're trying to tell him, hey, yes, I know that you love Sonic the Hedgehog is really, really cool, we're not going to play Sonic the Hedgehog today because your sisters want to play Portal Knights. You also can enjoy playing Portal Knights. It's okay. Oh, hell no, it's not okay, because I want to play Sonic the Hedgehog. This is the only thing that's acceptable to me. And that will trigger my son's behavior in particular.
Yeah, you want to have your money and wrestle too.
Go preferred versus non-preferred activities is a whole struggle for people who are on the spectrum.
So now I'm going to entertain, and this is all just rhetorical, but at some point, and I like this guy, and obviously it's worth the effort, but at some point, what if it's just not worth the effort anymore?
That's okay.
You're a good person. I like you. We're friends. But this constant, I just don't in time. It sounds so heinous and hateful and selfish, but at some point I just don't want to deal with it anymore. I'm tired of accommodating.
It doesn't sound heinous. Honestly, we game to have fun. And if it's not fun for everybody or not fun for you to run, then it's not fun and it's not working.
Right.
And it's not fun for you to run. It's not going to be fun for
us. I'm having a blast.
It is not a bad thing to say to a player, like, look, I get that there are some issues going on. This isn't working. why don't we pick it back up when we're playing something that you're more interested in?
And this is where I'm concerned about having that conversation, because I went down that road with him initially, and based on counsel that I received from another very dear friend, I was not direct enough on the initial, which is fair criticism of me. But I'm concerned that having that conversation, he's just going to be like, no, dude, everything's cool. Everything's great. And I'm just going to get bull. Right. And then I'm just going to get smoke blown up my ass. And then this is going to happen three or four more times. And I'm going to blow up and it's going to end our friendship because I handled it poorly.
Oh, here's what you do. You invite Chad into your gaming group. You make his game with you,
throw this guy out.
You make him game with you for about three sessions and then give him the responsibility of throwing the guy out. And then kick Chad out of your group.
Throwing a person out of the group isn't the problem. The problem is that in my experience, just in my group, and again, this is a huge if, because I don't think this guy wants to leave the table. I don't want him to leave the table. But my friends that I don't game with anymore, I'm not friends with anymore.
Yeah. So, well, can I ask you kind of a middle question here? And I've got a somewhat different approach to this. But before I get to that, is what he's doing or not doing, I realize it's irritating you, but is it actually hurting anything? Is it disrupting the game? Is it just sort of the kind of thing where you could just take another rip on the bong and just not engage it, just let it go?
I don't smoke weed while we're gaming.
I'm being facetious.
A couple of my players are like, dude, we would like your A game. Can you be sober when you're running? Right. I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. I respect.
Right. That was a figure of speech. Yeah, okay. So
here's what it is. He doesn't want to fight, right?
Okay.
And we all know that my D&D style is not proper D&D because we don't fight enough, but we have fights. I like fights. I like what 3.5 does for fights. And I like just f***ing killing.
Right.
But he doesn't want that.
But 3.5 also, I don't know about Pathfinder, well, at least within D&D, it also had non-combat class tracks and artisan class tracks. And especially if you're in a survival situation, but having somebody who's a blacksmith or a carpenter.
The thing is, and the argument that you'll get from most D&D people is that your character sheet, everything here, 99% of the game is on this piece of paper and 90% of this piece of paper is fighting. And that's the argument that you're going to get from people. But that's beside the point.
It's still your game.
When it comes to a fight, he's unhappy because he doesn't want the fight. He doesn't enjoy the math. He doesn't enjoy the combat encounter.
So what if he's not part of the fight?
So when you're at the table and the combat encounter is going on,
right,
and you get pouty and mopey and you don't participate in the combat at the detriment of other people at the table, that's a problem. So
I'm not saying you're wrong, but can you explain to me how it's a problem?
Okay, let's say, for example, Phoenix is playing a half giant and they're fighting orcs.
Yeah.
And these orcs are getting their dicks kicked in because there's 10 of them, but there's one of them and they're winning, right?
So okay.
Phoenix crush. Things are starting to look bad. The encounter's starting to turn. Phoenix's character's taking some D. There's still a couple orcs here. Oh, here come the bugbear reinforcements. Well, you know what? Phoenix is fifth level. They've got a lot of hit points. You know what? I'm not going to move toward it. I'm going to spend two rounds hiding back here, even though in one round I could have made it, even though mathematically Phoenix probably isn't going to die. The right thing to do is to go help my buddy in their combat. But I'm not going to do that because it'll just take too much time. It'll be easier to sit on my thumb.
But why not just rebalance the encounter to accommodate that the typical encounter presupposes, when I say encounter, I don't mean combat. The typical encounter presupposes the existence of this character. The typical combat counter does not.
I absolutely do. So I've got enough experience under my belt to do exactly that. The problem is that if, and again, this is just my perception of the issue, if I focus on other people at the table who do want to have a fight, actor disengages and pouts, even though the other people at the table are having a blast and fighting. When actor is not there and somebody else runs his character in the combat encounter, the most combat effective rogue I've seen in years. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So
kills. The chef's character is the aforementioned half giant who slays motherfuckers. I mean, just kicks ass, takes names, chops heads, loves fucking murder, right? The only person in the party who comes close and often eclipses their damage output is the rogue when being played by somebody else.
So that answers the question I had, was what class are they?
They're a rogue.
A rogue? You expect to be out fighting.
Oh, he's got great face skills. I mean, when it comes to a social encounter,
he's
like the purple man. He's unstoppable. People will do whatever he wants in a social encounter, right?
You should ask him to be a bard.
They don't have bards in this world because it's not stupid. I'm kidding. I love bards, Wayne. I'm kidding.
Because if he were a bard, then he can excel at the social stuff. But when it comes to combat,
yeah, what
bardic
about,
inspiration.
Yeah, I guess what I'm not conveying
is there are
two gears. I don't think it's his character class. I think it's him.
I'm not trying to be obtuse, but I just really don't follow. I'm just stuck on, so why not just edit him? I mean, the fact that he's effective, great. Rebalance the encounters. Yeah, I mean, if he leaves the group, same effect.
No. So I got you there.
Yeah, it's his behavior at the table.
Exactly.
When the combat is going on.
Phoenix has got me. That's the issue. The issue is that if it is a social engagement, he's lively and excited and whatever. And then if it's a combat engagement, it's not simply apathy. It's I'm just going to take my ball and go home.
So it starts to become more sabotage.
I don't know why I'm bothering to attack because I'm going to fail. I don't know what. Well, gosh, I mean, if I'm not here and somebody else uses my character's mechanics in a combat encounter, I'm super effective. Well, dude, I mean, yeah.
So, all right.
Yes, because they're trying.
Does he need help?
Trying.
Does he need help figuring out
Okay. No, he knows the rules better than I do, and I know the fucking rules. Right? It's goddamn deliberate obstinacy.
Okay, let me, just for the sake of completeness here, ask a question.
I'll get him on the show.
No.
We'll hash this out.
No. Well, I mean, if we need to do marital counsel between you two, then...
Dude, marital counseling is some of the best shit I ever did.
So...
No, I'm serious, man. Having a third person objective arbiter to tell you that infidelity is not the same as alcoholism is awesome. But anyway...
I'm talking facetiously about... I'm not literally... Because the actor is not your wife. I'm talking about facetious marital counseling. But no, let me ask you a question. Have you sat down with this individual, with actor?
No.
And asked him just some really broad sort of questions that are non-insinuating. Just say, like, can you help me understand what's going on here? And whatever he says, don't debate it. Don't argue with it. That doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but this is just an information collecting mission. What's going on? Why do you feel this way? Is there something we could help you with? Is there something going on that you need to be at home dealing with, not here? Is there something about the game that's bugging you? Mm-hmm. I don't even know that those are neutrally phrased enough. If I had enough time.
Focus on behaviors that you've observed. So not like, hey, why are you being such a dick, dude?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I noticed that when we have a combat encounter, you have been using your phone. The way that you play your character is XYZ. These are observable behaviors that I have seen you do. Can you explain to me why you're interacting in this way?
Well, and I don't want to dogpile on the guy, but, and again, I know I may not have made the most succinct or cohesive argument, but I am not the only person at the table that has noticed this behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to speak for the other people at my table or to do a bunch of finger pointing. I'm just saying my perspective, my relationship with this one guy. The problem is that I'm afraid that if I sit down to have that conversation, just based on knowing our two personalities, it's not going to get anywhere.
There's not a third party that could be there to
there's a guy
help even it out.
Maybe there's a guy in the group. Actually, I think that Banker would probably be the best person in the group to do that because Banker and Actor are actually probably the closest out of the group. I mean, out of the all of the relationship dynamic, Banker and Actor are probably closer with one another than they are to any other people in the group, with one exception. So he might be the right guy to do it. So maybe I just talk to Banker and have Banker do it and just be a baby and not do it myself.
No,
I
you still need to be there.
Yeah, I get your fear, though.
You still
need
to engage.
I see what you're getting at. You're afraid that if you and him have this conversation and it comes to a fight, you're going to lose your friend.
Yeah. Right. Because I'll blow up at him. Because I'll be like, look, you dumb motherfucker. longer. Could you imagine when you were running Feng Shui, if I sat there on my phone for over an hour, and then when you confronted me about it, I was complete fucking dick?
Well,
okay. That's how I would handle it. And that's not right.
Right.
I know.
Correct.
I know.
And I'm going to give my ultimate conclusion. I'm going to state in more detail later on, assuming it doesn't evolve based on information that we gather here. But my early take on this is, on the one hand, you want to be as accommodating and loving as you can be to a friend. That's what friends do. That's why Wayne gave you that 18 or whatever it was page document. Friends love each other, support each other, help each other out, try to find middle ground. But that doesn't mean there is therefore no point beyond which you have gone from being a good, loving friend to being a complete doormat.
Let me
ask you one more question. And like I said, I'm going to expound upon my sort of my conclusion on this. But there was a really good video that was put out by Will Smith, of all people. And
he games?
No, this wasn't about gaming.
And it wasn't a good video, Dan.
Well, okay, I apologize. But it was a life advice. And he put into words something that...
From someone who's wealthy and beautiful. That's very helpful.
Okay, well he put... well, I'm flattered, but... but he put into words something that I have intuitively known and believed for a very long time. What he said in that video is he talks about the difference between fault and responsibility. All right? A situation being difficult. The peculiarities of an individual, whatever they may be, they may or may not be the fault of the individual you're talking to. All right. The dealer deals you a hand. You've got a hand. What's in that hand may or may not be your fault. In many cases, it is not. Speaking to my own issues with the anxiety disorder, with depression, things like that, I do not think, knowing what I do about my own life, that I would assign fault to myself for these issues, the damage that created them, et cetera, et cetera. I could get into the detail of who did what and blah, blah, blah. And even then, it's ultimately irrelevant. Fault really is irrelevant because what we really ought to be talking about is something else, which is responsibility. It may not be my fault that I am depressed or that I have an anxiety disorder or whatever, but I do have a responsibility to do something to accommodate, not just have people accommodate me, which I think my friends ought to do. I think my friends ought to accommodate me. But similarly, there comes a point where I have to accommodate them. You know, I have to say, look, it's nobody's fault, but I'm really anxious right now. And I'm kind of, you know, on edge or whatever. I need to recognize that and extricate myself. You know, or there's a game going on right now and I'm really depressed, or I'm really distracted by work or drama with my girlfriend or whatever it is. I don't know what this guy's going through. And say, you know what? It's best that for their sake, I extricate myself. And I think a conversation should occur. In my opinion, a conversation should occur that is neutral, non-accusatory, that has a lot of very active listening, that looks for a middle ground. But I think it is also very fair for you at some end of that, and maybe you need to chill out a bit, but at some end of that to still say, okay, but you got to help us here a little bit. You got to communicate some things. You got to meet us halfway. You've got to maybe pick up some, and I don't know what these are, so I'm not going to pretend to tell you what they ought to be, but some kind of coping mechanism to help you here. And, you know, and that's,
I see it as my responsibility to take whatever steps, whatever coping mechanisms it is, to have my issues remain my issues and not fall on everyone around me. I'm not always going to be successful, but it is my responsibility to try.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't tell someone about something, then they don't know that they just hit a trigger.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone has triggers. Even people that, for the most part, don't think of themselves as struggling with anything have triggers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you don't necessarily know your triggers. But if you know one and you don't tell somebody, you certainly can't hold them responsible for hitting your trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it. This person had coping mechanisms, right now they are struggling with their coping mechanisms. Their responsibility to themselves and to you guys is to work on rebuilding those coping mechanisms. If they choose not to do that, they are harming the group as a whole.
Yes.
And it is time to tell them they are not living up to their responsibility.
And even if it's not necessarily, I'm a softie, right? Like, I'm a mom. This makes me think about my son, right? It may not be I'm choosing not to work on my coping mechanisms. It may take him a while.
Right.
And it is okay. I give you permission as a friend to say, I love you. This is not good for me. This is not good for the group as a whole. We're here to help you get this back under control, but it needs to be in a different way and in a different setting.
Yeah. Sometimes situations just suck, and it's not anybody's fault that they suck, but they suck. And if something doesn't change, everyone is going to be miserable and it's not going to work out for anyone.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's an important point to bring up too, that it doesn't just affect our relationships. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, it's not just working for me.
Yeah.
There's the collective to consider that it may not be working for as well.
Yes. Yeah. And also, and this is highly speculative on my part, and let me stress that, but it is also possible that there may be a better situation that by virtue of remaining in this comfort zone that actor's not going to find. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying that to, I don't want to sound dismissive, and I don't want to sound like I've got some Pollyanna outlook on this, because I don't.
There is such a
life
thing as
a neighbor. Life is hard. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's exactly my point. Is life is hard. I don't know. I don't want to just, oh, yeah, well, if this isn't working, then clearly better is out there for it. Well, maybe it's not. I don't know. But either way, if this is a non-productive situation that is damaging your hobby, is damaging the hobby enjoyment, and by extension, possibly therefore, the mental health and coping of the other people there who may be coping to some degree through the escapism of the game, that you don't want to pit one issue against another because you will never get a healthy outcome. Mm-hmm. I still am a big believer that I think the due diligence ought to occur, that a fair and open-minded conversation ought to occur to try and understand this on his terms, his perspective. That's not the same as enabling. I'm not saying therefore take his perspective as gospel and run with it, but I'm just saying I don't know that you can fully understand why he's doing what he's doing or how to interpret that if you don't see his perspective. I will not name the individual because they are associated with the show, but this was maybe several months ago. There was someone who had to sit down with me and explain to me why they were doing certain things. And it's kind of a long story, and I unfortunately can't go into detail, but it completely changed my understanding of this individual and the way in which I was interpreting certain things. And it chilled me out, you know, because I'm like, these things that I'm interpreting through one lens, that's not what's intended. This is like an optical illusion of behavior, that you see it and you assume a motivation or you prescribe a motivation that's based on fundamentally your own perspective and experiences, which may or may not line up with his. Once again, that doesn't mean you should capitulate at every turn and say, we're just going to make the group roll over and accept that.
No, there still need to be boundaries.
Exactly. Exactly. There need to be healthy boundaries. And one of those boundaries may be, we love you, but this isn't the best situation for anyone involved. We need to.
Yeah, and we're certainly not there yet. We're at the point where we need to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, this is my frustration, not the group's frustration. The group could say, oh, yeah, here are examples that would support what Mike is saying. But they, you know, it feels shit talking about the other people because it's not fair to them because they're not there to tell me where I'm right and tell me where I'm wrong. But
Broder, can we discuss the cyclical nature of every time you come on and tell these stories? It always winds up with us telling you, you need to talk to your player. and yet you come back with another story where you haven't talked to your player.
This situation has evolved.
I'm going to take oversight on this one.
This one has evolved. This is not the second time he's come with this with stories about actor, though.
No.
This is the third or fourth. And the advice is the same every time.
Talk to your player. I love him, but he's so infuriated.
Talk to your player. Figure out how to deal with your own fury.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I was making a joke about why you don't take a bomb rip.
Figure out why you don't want to take our advice and talk to him.
Hold on. Because, all right.
I understand there's
answer, right. But I know.
I understand there's no dysfunction at gaming tables you don't allow.
That's correct.
Right. Can you allow for some dysfunction in an Applebee's?
Yes, I will allow for this. Well, I mean, Applebee's, it's one of the cornerstones of Applebee's is dysfunction. I guess I'll be fine. I mean, have you seen the married couples with kids that go in and eat at Applebee's?
Why are we attacking me?
Don't worry, Phoenix. I'm right there with you. I am one of three people in the world that apparently likes Applebee's, okay? I have no delusions.
It's Crapplebee's.
Well, look, I have no delusions.
You know what? It's cheap food for kids, okay?
Yeah. Bingo. When you drive through a McDonald's, you don't expect a Ruth Chris. But I'm still fine with McDonald's. I take Applebee's on its own terms. And apparently I'm one of, apparently Phoenix and I are two of the three people that can do that.
I like Applebee's as well.
Okay, yes, man. So three is wrong.
There we go. Here.
Honestly, we all always liked it. It's just Chad doesn't want to go there.
Well, apparently Brodor does see. But the point is.
Well, no, here's the difference between Brodor and Chad. Brodor will bitch about it. He'll deride it. He'll say it's fucking gross. But then he'll also shut his goddamn mouth and go eat there.
True.
Yep. So, a peek behind the curtains, and Dan can cut this if he wants to. Do you have any idea how many times Dan and Chad have had issues with each other? And the solution was they went out to dinner and talked about it.
We've talked about it on the show.
Yeah. There is something to be said about communication other ways that loses its nuance.
Can I say something brutally honest?
Mm-hmm.
What if I figure out I don't like him? What if I'm wrong?
That's part of the journey of life.
Yeah. Okay.
Wouldn't it be better for you to know that now?
I like him as a person, but what if I like him as a person, but I don't like gaming with him? If I don't like gaming with him, dude, our friendship's over.
It doesn't have to be.
That's a choice.
It does.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me ask.
That's your choice.
There are billions of people on the planet.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me to keep up with all the people that I game with.
I understand that. But if you hate gaming with someone, then
gaming with them.
Okay, then there's your answer.
I don't hate it. I don't.
You just strongly dislike it, which is definition 1A.
You just don't like running D&D for him.
You are
exactly. That's it.
Tap dancing around it, dude.
Yeah.
You're tap dancing around it.
Phoenix and I are on the same page.
I give him the benefit of the doubt of this aspect. I said he doesn't like running D&D for him. He's talked about being in other games with him that he's enjoyed. That he ran.
I never brought these sorts of things to the table when we were playing Deadlands. That's real life.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's where I'm at is I will certainly grant the situation has evolved. You've learned new information that changes or ought to change your perspective. And maybe it adds some steps you've got to take along the way.
It adds some nuance.
Yeah. And maybe there's some private conversations you could have with people who themselves are either close to someone who's on the spectrum or themselves are on the spectrum and get some. I don't know what you need to do, right? I don't have this figured out.
But either way, a
quiet and very ready to listen and see if there's no fixing it. If this is something where this just isn't going to work, then it's not going to work. But get there knowing you tried. Get there knowing. And you're saying, well, what if our friendship ends? Well, if your friendship was only gaming, you guys didn't have a friendship to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You're gaming buddies, which is fine.
Crazy stupid idea.
But don't call that
invite him onto your invite him onto your podcast and interview him. You'll find out all kinds of things about him because you're good as an interviewer.
Yeah, I think Wayne figured it out right there because I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Be like,
I fully understand your fear and what you're going through. I've struggled with that before too. I have continued with social events or hobbies or things with people that I didn't enjoy being around them for that, but I wanted to stay their friends.
Yeah.
And I have had people that I enjoyed being around that we don't game with anymore and I don't have any interactions with. So I understand that. But if it makes you miserable,
if it is a source of frequent, repeated frustration for you.
Yeah, that's not misery. That's just being Brodor. That's just life. That's
it
just
is
being...
stressing you out. Oh, it is upsetting you.
It's providing us a lot of content for the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Actually, you know what? Wade's right. We benefit from not solving this problem.
Yeah.
Keep ignoring all our advice.
At the Total, we are your pharmaceutical company that only sells treatments, not cures.
I would like to say, not that I'm going to blow my own horn, and I recognize that I am far from the summit, but I have made it some distance from the time that I started doing this podcast and how I would have handled this situation to the now. And I think that the fact that I'm reflecting on it and I am seeking the counsel of trusted friends and advisors is a testimony to my maturity as an individual.
Let me add something on to that, because my perspective on something very related to that has, I wouldn't say changed 180 degrees, but it's shifted maybe 10, 20, 30 degrees, which is venting. I think one of the worst habits we as human beings have is bitching, venting, gossiping, whatever you want to call it, bad-mouthing people behind their backs. And I think it is a problem because of the fact that we engage into it far too freely, far too frequently, and we do that in lieu of dealing with the issue, in lieu of dealing with the person.
Well, yeah.
But where my view has shifted somewhat, a little bit, is I still think there needs to be a huge course correction in human psyche on this and human behavior on this, including myself. I'm not claiming to be perfect here. But as I've kind of chewed it up in my mind, and I know I'm not just justifying myself, because where I started chewing on this was things that ended up in my lap or somebody was venting about me. And so it was hitting me. I'm not justifying what I was doing to other people, but I was trying to genuinely see their perspective. And are they being assholes? Is this healthy? I don't care if it's common. Lots of things in the world history have been common. That doesn't mean they're good. And what I started to realize is that there is a truth in there, which is that, one, it does help people chill out a bit. It helps them organize their thoughts. It helps them sometimes start to back off a bit and put aside things that may be their pet peeves or their hangups, because oftentimes dysfunctional situations are made much worse because two people's dysfunctions headbutt. It's sandpaper on sandpaper. It's not sandpaper on wood. It's sandpaper on sandpaper. And sometimes in the course of venting, sometimes you start to sort out your thoughts and say, you know, I just need to bitch about it. Now I don't care. I'm past it. I'm over it. It's my issue. It's not even them, or they're quirky, but whatever. It's still my friend. Or to even go so far as to say, well, I'm pissed about this. I'm pissed about this. But now that I've kind of cleared my head, I'm in a space to figure out what am I going to do to actually fix it.
Well, and I definitely, I struggle with this as a concept of, I don't like gossip. I don't like talking about people behind their back, any of that. However, sometimes you want a reality check too. Is this just me? Is this thing that's bothering me? Is it in my head? Or is everyone else noticing this too?
I have a solution, maybe a trick that I use, because I talk to a lot of people, right? I get a lot of venting sessions or let me dump this on your lap because you're a good listener and you'll listen. There's a very simple question that you ask, and it's, do you need me to listen and support you and let you get it off your chest? Or are you ready to look for solutions?
I think a good example before we started recording, I had something I wanted to vent about because it had been bugging me for days and I needed to say it to someone.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for a solution because I didn't need a solution.
Yeah, there isn't a solution. It doesn't even need to be a solution.
Yeah. It's just something that bothered me that I wanted to get out so it wasn't still in my head.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just needed someone to listen. And once that's done, I move on. I'm fine.
Yeah. But there does, I think, depending on the issue.
Exactly. It's depending on the issue.
There are sometimes a point where you have to say, you know what, this far and no farther. I need to either deal with this or move on in life. One of the two, you know, bitching about it is now just, it's just an antisocial, unhelpful behavior.
I'm big on the vent, right?
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. So in order, I love venting, and then I love gossip, particularly if that gossip is about the hobby industry, and specifically if that gossip is about the fantasy shop. Now, the talking about other people behind their backs, obviously, I am as guilty as the next person that I have done that.
But everyone does it. You may not like doing it, but everyone does it.
It's like wine. Every human being tells lies. That does not mean every human being is a habitual liar.
But
nor does that mean lying's okay.
Actor knows who he is. Actor sometimes listens to this show. And I have said nothing here today that if actor came to me and said, well, you said XYZ, let's just listen to the episode together. What did I say? And then we'll talk about what I said and where I was right and where I was wrong and whatever. But I am only guarded about my feelings with people in the personal because I don't like those situations. I don't like to be emotionally vulnerable. I don't like that. But I also, there's a huge selfish part of me that thinks this is a lot of effort and it would be just easier to, and I don't mean actor specifically, right. I mean the royal you, but it would just be easier to replace you with someone else than to deal with this bullshit.
Yeah, well.
And I know that sounds horrible, I'm just doing the calculus.
It depends on the nature of your relationship and how much you have invested in it.
And obviously with this person, it is more important to me to talk to them.
Precisely, because you're struggling with it.
Right, yeah.
I think to Wayne's earlier point, we wouldn't be on our nth show about this if you didn't care about this person.
If this didn't drive me crazy.
Yeah, if you didn't want to fix it on some level, we would not be having this conversation.
Because, I mean, whether or not I don't want to get into a whole religious thing, but I don't know. I believe in God, and all I know is that I'm supposed to be a positive impact on people's lives. And I'm not always that guy.
Right.
Right.
Nobody is.
He's my friend. I invite him to the table. I have a responsibility to talk to him about this and not to be a f-ing coward about it. But then I'm such an angry person that if I don't vent, then I'll just attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you would have the conversation with him after this venting session, it's going to be 100 times better than if you hadn't vented and done it. Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I don't like sharing something sometimes, and I bottle things up. I have been known for years around work and other things as being the calm guy you don't get angry. When people actually saw me get angry, that meant something. Well, that's because I bottle it all up unhealthily until it snaps and I yell at someone.
See, I'm the opposite of you. I bloviate and I scream and I smash and I yell. But when my employees were scared is when there was the calm.
Look, we might all package it in different wrapping paper, but inside of that box, all right, this is too many metaphors, but inside of that box, there is a truth about many people on this show, many people in geekdom, nerddom, whatever, many people, I think, in the world in general, which is we have had too many experiences in our life where we have been punished for being socially or emotionally vulnerable. And as a result, we come up with all of these ways, whether it's bitching behind people's backs, whether it's throwing away relationships casually, which is not what you're doing, but I'm just using it as an example.
No, but I find them.
But we find all these ways to avoid, because talking to someone as a peer and as a friend and trying to fix an issue without simply trying to beat them into submission requires being socially and emotionally vulnerable. And we are taught by way too many life experiences, by way too many people, that is a bad place to be. And I think that describes so much of the pain in our society and so much of the hurt in our society, because we can't be real with each other. And there was something that I did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. I am saying this because I want to explain how hard this was for me, that this was not something that was easy because I'm a wonderful person. This was hard because I'm a broken person, which is several years back, I forced myself to write a letter to everyone in the hosting group of Fear the Boot that was nothing but positive things about why I liked them and cared about them and admired them as a person. Why? Because I was in a fight with the group? No, we're getting along fine. This was relatively out of nowhere. I did it because people don't do it, because they're afraid to do it, because they're afraid of being vulnerable. And I looked at myself in the mirror and said, you know, why am I just bitching about this in general when I'm part of the problem? And I don't do this. And you know what? To my shame, I did it once and haven't done it since. But why was that such a big event? Why was that so hard to do? Yeah, I had one person, I won't name the person because they intimated some things to me that are very personal, but they told me that that letter meant a lot to them, and they still sometimes come back and reread just that one post in their dark moments because of the fact that it's there. There's somebody saying and that they love them and care about them. Once again, I'm not spraining my arm and patting myself on the back. I'm not a good person. If I was a good person, I'd do this all the time. You know, I'm a broken person who did something right at that moment in my life, but it's something I think we need to get our courage together, and we need to make a part of our lives. We need to be to tell the people that we love them. Yeah. Why is it there are so many people that they lose a loved one and they all have the same message? Boy, I wish I could have said X, Y, and Z to them when they were alive. And then they go on and forget the other people that don't listen to what they have to say, and then go on and let their friends, family, whatever, die without saying XYZ. But even that person will then not go say XYZ to anyone else in their life.
Part of growth and part of continuing to learn and to grow is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That's wise. So, true story.
I'm a very wise person.
You are. True story. The day that my wife was shot, when she was leaving for work, we got in a huge fight. Swear to God. We got in a huge fight that day. And dude, we've never parted like that ever again.
Mm-hmm. I remember when my dad was going in, this is my 21st birthday. He's going in for a double bypass because he just had a heart attack on, you know, happened all on my birthday. And I can only think of a couple times I've ever told him I love him in my life. And I told him then, and that was his first response, was to look up at me and say, "You're scared that I'm about to die, aren't you?" "Yeah. Yeah, I am." He wasn't worried about it until point he realized I was scared.
And I'm not picking on you, Wayne, because I'm just as guilty, right? Maybe I'm more guilty. I don't know. I don't keep score sheets.
I'm horrible about it. I can't express it.
But you know why your dad picked that out?
Because I never do it.
Because you never do it.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I don't know. I'm getting into I'm bloviating myself now, but
I'll bloviate you.
Well, that was, anyway, it's not a transitive verb. I myself am now bloviating. If he's in the bathroom
and you're bloviating him, would it be a bloviumpkin?
A bloviumpkin, yeah. Isn't that a Harry Potter spell? Bloviumpkin!
Swish and flick. So, all right, I think we're going to stop here before this turns into another negative episode.
I broke Phoenix.
Bloviumpkin! No, it's bloviumpkin!
Bloviumpkin!
No, Phoenix had a mouthful of water there. So, out their nose.
I say, when you have a spell that makes your wand go flaccid, you so anyway. I do hope this is something you're able to work this out. You know, obviously, we're in your corner on this one.
Thank you. So actually, actor's birthday is today, and of the day of this recording. Mm-hmm. And the Saturday following this recording, he's having a party. So I'll feel out things at the party, and maybe I'll pull him aside and say, "Hey, brother, I just want to
say, hey,
how are you doing, man? How are you? Yeah. I just want to check out. In the last several times you've been to the game, you just haven't been yourself, and I want to make sure you're all right. You said something about anxiety and just having to get back into the groove of things, and I just want to make sure you're all right.
And say, hey,
and you're ruining my fucking game, so stop it."
Well, before that,
maybe not that last part.
Yeah, maybe leave off that last part in favor of and hey, would you like to go out and grab some beer sometime?
Don't say it.
He is not ruining my game. He's
frustrating you.
He's challenging.
He's just frustrating.
Yeah, so he's challenging for sure.
All right. Well, as for you guys at home, check the show notes. There might be a couple things in there. Once again, I'll try to link that Will Smith video just because I liked it. Maybe you won't. You know what? I don't. Either way, not what the show's really about. So, yeah. And otherwise, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games. And we will catch you next time.
Bloviumkin.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2021. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.